Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Your talk radio, and it's Thursday, Friday morning, just almost Christmas, I can't believe it, and it's Trish Clark this morning. I'm sitting in for Carl and Linda. They're off visiting family for the holidays, and we're hoping they're having a really good time with that. I'm going to be here this morning and keep you entertained. I would let you know that the first hour after we have our Haven Humane animal is going to be open line. So start thinking of all the wonderful things you want to talk about and be prepared to give me a call at 605-4567. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about, or you'll just have to listen to whatever I want to talk about. So get your questions ready and the things that are just burning a hole that you want to talk about. Maybe something nice about, what about Christmas or the holidays, or how do you feel about things? It's 46 degrees in downtown Reading. Becoming sunny today, a high of 65, a low of 42. On Saturday, sunny, a high of 59. Saturday night, increasing clouds and a low of 36. On Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 57 and a low of 39. And on Christmas Day, they were suggesting we were going to have rain. Looking like mostly sunny now, a high of 58 and a low of 41. And on Tuesday, partly sunny and a high of 58. And a low of 41. The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call in 365-3793. Nice Anderson-based business. Wish them all down there a Merry Christmas. And so I have a guest in the studio that is a mastiff, and his name is Ferdinand, and he is huge.
He is huge.
And I'm joined with Katrina from Haven Humane. What a nice baby. I mean, he's so calm and...
He is. He's very special. I like him because he is both the biggest dog we have. He's about 120 pounds, but he's also the calmest and most gentle dog that we have. He's about 5 years old, and he's a gray mastiff mix. And he is just, I don't know, he is just so sweet and gentle. And
now, what kind of a environment does he fit well in?
Honestly, I think most environments, I mean, dogs like this that are, you know, people see a really big dog and they think they need a lot for them. But luckily with a breed like him, like being a mastiff, they're usually very calm and they just kind of want to lay around. And especially since he's a little bit older, I think any household that's pretty low energy would be fine for him, honestly. He mostly just wants to sit with his people all day. He's not one that's going to, you know, want to go out for runs or do anything like that.
How about small children?
He's done really great. He's met little babies and done really well with them.
Doing good with them.
Yeah.
He's beautiful. I mean, he's just very big. My immediate reaction is, oh, my gosh.
That's everyone's
that's
immediate
really
reaction.
That's a really big animal.
He's like a horse. No, but he's wonderful. He's kind of
so calm. I can't.
He is. He's kind of like a diamond in the rough, too. He definitely came to us in really rough shape. He came in as a stray, and he did come in just very skinny, and he did have some, like, wounds and things. We don't really know exactly what happened to him, but he's doing a lot better now, and since he's been with us for about 2 months. That's all we've noticed with him is that he's just very sweet and very friendly and very gentle with everyone he meets.
Okay, so Haven Humane does this on all the time and has these animals. Kind of walk through the process for now. Somebody's out there listening. What do they do?
So we do recommend making an appointment to visit with any of our animals. So you can always give us a call at 530-241-1653. However, if you are in the area and you want to just come down to the shelter, we usually can't accommodate you without an appointment. And in terms of doing an adoption, it's something that can be done kind of all in one go. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, a multi-step procedure or anything. We just want you to meet with, you know, whoever it is that you're wanting to adopt, see if they're a good fit for you.
If you're maybe spend a little time and
get to know them a little bit,
walk around with them a little bit.
Exactly. And then if you do have any other dogs in your home, we do like them to meet the dog that you're going to adopt, just to make sure that they're going to be a good fit as well. And Ferdinand has done really well with the other dogs he has met, so I think he would be fine living in a home with another dog.
Okay, and it, you know, I've always thought about it, Christmas time, specifically if we're adopting animals, there's so much going on at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Is that a really good time to introduce a new pet into the home?
That's a really good question. It can be, but it also kind of depends on what your plans are for the holidays. I think when you get a new pet, it is always best to kind of go slow with them. So if you're someone who, like, hosts, you know, events for the holidays, I wouldn't recommend bringing in a new pet if you're going to have a lot of people over or things like that, just because it can be very overwhelming for your new pet. If you do have a lot of, you know, people at the home, there's a lot of commotion, things like that. So it just kind of depends on, I think, what you're doing for the holidays. You definitely want to go slow with your new pet just because they don't know you yet. They don't know the home yet, and you really want to just be really patient with them and let them settle in.
I would think, because it would seem, if, as you indicated, if there's a lot of people around, the animal could be totally overwhelmed.
Exactly.
And that's not a good start to kind of ease into things and what have you, although it's a great idea to open up that box with a puppy. Maybe it's not such a good thing to, at that time, maybe.
Yeah, definitely just something to talk about with your family to see if it is a good time. You know, the holidays can be a great time, but like I said, I would just be conscious of kind of what your plans are and what your lifestyle looks like, especially around the holidays, to think, you know, to see if it is a good time to bring in a new little furry friend.
So tell us a little bit more about Haven Humane and what's going on out there now. There's all kinds of opportunities, I know, all through the year to be a part of that. If you perhaps like to be around animals but really can't have one now, maybe you have some spare time, maybe there's opportunities that you could go out and spend some time with animals. Can you tell me a little bit about the volunteer opportunities out there?
Yeah, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities, actually. There's kind of something for everyone. If you want to work with dogs, cats, we do get livestock sometimes, and if you want to help with them, you can. Pretty much anything that you could want to help with, there is an opportunity for you to do there, and it's really great. I know our volunteers really make our place run, so to speak. You know, they do a lot of our dog walking and everything and the socialization of our animals. So our volunteers are very crucial. And if you are thinking about volunteering, you do just have to sign up online. You just go to havenhumane.org where you can fill out an application and get started. You usually just go through a couple of training classes and then you're on your own, you know, doing whatever work it is that you signed up to do.
Because there's all kinds of things. I mean, you can be walking animals, you can be folding clothes, you can be doing cleaning areas.
Cleaning, you can help in our vet hospital too if that's something that interests you. There's always help needed pretty much anywhere at Haven, so if you've ever been wanting to sign up, we can always use more volunteers for sure.
And I think it's interesting that I talk sometimes and people go, well, what, they're not really familiar. So Haven does the animal control issues for the city of Reading and the city of Anderson. How about the city of Shasta Lake?
No, we just do city of Reading and city of Anderson.
Okay. And how about the unincorporated area?
I know we work with animal control, like with the county animal control for them, but our officers only patrol city of Reading, city of Anderson.
Okay. So if you have an animal issue, who do you call?
I mean, it's going to really depend on the issue. If you live in Reading or Anderson, I would say, you know, call Haven. If you live in the outer skirts, you're going to have to call, like, the sheriff's office. But that would be where you'd want to start.
Okay. And one of the things that I think is important is to encourage people, if you have animals or you have cats and you're going to have kittens, then there's a process you really – we at some point need to start making sure all of these animals are spayed and neutered, and we have too many cats out and about. How do we
– We have a trap, neuter, release program for stray and feral cats that helps with kind of keeping the feral cat population down, so to speak. And that program actually we have running, it's Monday through Thursday. You can just come in. There's no appointment or anything, but you can get the cat fixed. And we do offer vouchers as well that take off some of the price if you live in, I think, Reading or Anderson. That essentially covers the cost of it as well.
Yeah.
So we have a lot more information about that at our website, havenhumane.org. That goes into a lot of detail about what you would need to do if you do have any strays, like, in your area that you would like to get fixed. And you can always call us, too. Again, that's 530-241-1653 if you have any questions about that program.
That's important because I know that we all, you know, we love animals. We love our own animals more. We don't always love other people's animals that impact our lives by being in our yards or what have you. So be a responsible pet owner, I guess, would be the thing. And so follow those things, and Haven is there to help. So again, once again, we have this absolutely adorable Ferdinand. He is so big, but he's so pretty. He's a Mastiff, 5 years old, and he's available for adoption at Haven Humane now.
Yes, he is.
All right. Thanks so much, Katrina, for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. And we'll be right back after these messages.
And so this is Christmas.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Christmas lights do more than glitter and glow. They represent a gift of love given a long time ago. This holiday season, join Historic Haws Farms on a magical journey through Lights on the Farm, presented by the award-winning light designers at Reading Lights. Climb aboard Haws Express Railways or travel by country-covered wagons through a spectacular interactive holiday light show where childhood memories and family traditions come alive. Enjoy a simple country Christmas with cocoa, candy apples, carolers, and a visit with Santa. And as a very special gift from Greg and Nicola Haws, every Thursday night, children 12 and under are free, with special discount pricing for seniors and veterans every Sunday. It's the Haws family way of saying thank you and Merry Christmas. Limited tickets are available, so hurry. Reserve your tickets today at historichawsfarms.com and make a memory. Start a new tradition with your family at Historic Haws Farms Lights on the Farm, where they've been celebrating the holidays for over 150 years.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Black Bear Diner is open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Feast on traditional homestyle turkey, slow roasted prime rib, and smoked ham on trays with all the fixings. Available Christmas Eve or day starting at 11 for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Or stop by and enjoy a selection of your favorite regular menu items. Spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with Black Bear Diner. Open daily, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Wind River Resort and Casino is spreading holiday cheer one Benjamin at a time with our $30,000 holiday cash extravaganza swipe to win drawing. Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes. Don't miss our weekly drawings every Thursday in December starting at 7 p.m. 5 lucky winners every half hour are drawn to win up to $500 cash. For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
A beautiful sight we're having tonight. Walking in the
and welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. It's Friday morning. I'm sitting here looking at the sparkly window here at KCNR 96.5 FM. It's Trish Clark. I'm going to be with you this morning, and I will remind you that the first hour is is just completely open time. Anything that's on your mind, please give me a call and let's talk about it. Christmas movies. There's so many Christmas movies out. And I have a favorite, and I think a lot of people are not even familiar. I'm a huge fan of Cary Grant. I don't think that any of the movies that he ever did were bad movies. I just think he was just the greatest. But a kind of unknown movie a lot of my friends have not seen is a movie called The Bishop's Wife, and it's a Christmas movie. It has Cary Grant, Loretta Young, David Niven, and Cary Grant is an angel. For those of you who have not seen that, I just encourage you to take the time to find that movie during this Christmas season. It, I guarantee, will become a Christmas favorite. I think I have watched that every Christmas, I don't know, for probably the last 45 years. I have a nephew and great nephew who came to spend Christmas with me a few years back. And I said I was going to show this movie, and they both kind of behumped me and didn't what have you. The next Christmas, my nephew called me and or sent me a text and said, yeah, okay, so I want you to know I just watched The Bishop's Wife. It's one of those all-time really great movies. A little different, but great. And of course, you can go on and on with so many of the great Christmas movies that we've seen over the years. But this time of year, I kind of like to look back at those kind of things and kind of, I don't know, reminisce about. I loved the holidays during a period when it was a lot calmer. I think they've gotten a bit overwhelmed. We've lost the meaning of what Christmas is about. I wish that more people would concentrate on the family time, the together time. I wish we could get beyond the rushing for the last gift and the last stocking and the all of that. That's my wish list for Christmas. Get past all the gifts and all that and just about spending time. My family, my sister's family, actually, this morning my phone is bing, bing, binging because all of my sister, I have one sister, she's older and lives in Florida, and her family are all flying to Florida this year. I attempted to be a part of that, but it didn't all work out. But anyway, they're all flying in, so this morning they're coming from Idaho and from Montana and from Washington and flying into Florida where my niece and my sister live. And so that's going to be a great time for families. Let me know what you're doing for Christmas or tell me about whatever's on your mind about Christmas. I'm going to randomly jump around at random thoughts here. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday when I was on the line about the issue with the Hamas and the Palestine and Israel. And in fact, I found it interesting. We found that Hamas had a tremendous strike in Israel again. And I scanned the news media ever since yesterday morning, and I still have not seen any reports on our so-called media about that latest attack. And I find that interesting that the news we get, if you have someone inside Israel where you're getting direct news, you know someone or you have a source there, the news is totally different than what we're getting from our what we laughingly refer to as our media here, the ABC, NBC, CBS, blah, blah, blah. They're not telling us what's happening, and that's unfortunate. In light with that, I also have a question. I don't know whether anybody else has thought about this. But did you not find it interesting that when all this happened, big surprise, nobody knew that this strike was going to happen in October where Hamas was going to attack Israel and Palestine? Did anybody ever question where all of those flags came from? Thousands of flags? At all of the colleges across the United States, all of those flags waving, supporting Palestine. Who knew and why did we have that many available flags in the United States of America available to all those college students. Every campus you look at, every newscast you look at, all of these demonstrations, where did all of those flags come from? Why did we have so many Palestine flags in the United States available to these places? Those things, I don't know, make me question what we're learning and what we're being told in America by our so-called media. I don't think we're getting the straight story on much of anything. I think it's so sad, specifically this time of year, and if those attacks did increase again. I pray for all of the people involved. I don't want deaths on either side of these battles. But I really wish that we were getting the straight story about what's happening. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like when you listen to the newscast, they're actually telling you what's happening? Hamas is calling for Israel to lay down their weapons and to surrender. And again, as we've stated repeatedly, we all know that if Israel surrenders, it means they will be wiped out of existence. If Israel, if Hamas surrenders, we will have peace. Israel has no desire to annihilate that any other country. They just want to live in peace. They've offered all kinds of issues that they are willing to give and to live peacefully over there. But they can't stop fighting. And certainly we, the United States, I think are wrong to encourage them to lay down their arms. This is going to be a long battle, I believe, and I don't know that there's a lot we can do about that. How do you feel about that? I think that the situation at this time of year is paramount in everyone's mind. We have to think of all of the people, the soldiers, the people being impacted, both in Ukraine, in Russia, in Palestine, in Israel, all of the bordering countries. It's a Christmas time for me. I mean, this is the holy time. This is the holiday that we celebrate the birth of Christ. It's a hard time for people to be at war, and know that you have people that are in danger. Whether we like it or not, we are involved in it. We have active military in all of those places, and we have our own sons and fathers and mothers and daughters and all that are involved and impacted by this war, by these wars that are going on. I think we need to pray, and we as a country need to recognize that we very easily can slip further into this, and this can escalate at just any time. So maybe while you're gathering together and just be thankful for time to spend with your family and reach out to other people in your area. As you get together with your family, remember that life is so fleeting. One day it's you're together and it can change just so quickly. And this time of year, I think it becomes more paramount and it is, I don't know, it always seems like there are more people listed in the obituaries this time of year, and maybe it's just because it's cold, I don't know, but it's a hard time because then it kind of mars the holidays from then on. Portion of the show has been brought to us by Cornerstone Community Bank, dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the highest level of personal service. They have 3 branches in Reading, 1 in Red Bluff, and 1 in the city of Anderson. They invite you to experience how they're moving local dreams forward, anxious to give loans to local people. Give them a call or stop by one of the local branches and sponsors for many local events and throughout the community. We really appreciate Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages.
Please,
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can stream us, catch us online at KCNR1460.com. Or if you've got a comment or something that you'd like to chat about this morning or talk about, please give me a call at 530-605-4567. This portion of the show is Trish Clark this morning. Carl and Linda are with family for the holidays. And I'm going to be sitting in for the rest of the show and just kind of bringing Christmas a little bit closer to Casey in our land. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Crackmaster. Knows the ins and outs of proper windshield repair. He's been repairing windshields for years and is Bureau of Automotive Repair approved. Jeff at Crackmaster is truly from the old school. Each and every repair is a sign of the quality and workmanship. He's a really interesting guy to talk to as well. Unlike the doctors who practice, there's no practicing with Crackmaster. He has the repairs of certainty. You know the job will be done well, and he guarantees it. You can drop in, or you can make an appointment. He's located at 3208 South Market, or you can give him a call at 241-8373. So one of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately is, you know, unfortunately, we no longer live in a world where we can leave our cars, where our doors open, cars parked any place without the very real possibility, that someone is going to want our stuff and break into our vehicles or our home or what have you. Having said that, I am still amazed, that knowing that that is a real possibility, people continue to leave their wallets, their briefcases, their computers, their very expensive tools, all kinds of things in vehicles parked in various places all around, sometimes not even locked, and are somehow amazed and appalled that they've been broken into, and I see it every day. If you do anything on the neighborhood emails, they come in, and it's hardly a day goes by that someone is not just absolutely astounded that they're someone broke into their car and they lost their wallet and all their credit cards. There are no words. Why would you leave anything in your car, knowing full well there's a real possibility in the world we live in that someone is going to break into it, specifically while you're shopping? You go around and you go into one store and you buy something, you walk through a parking lot with all kinds of people, you open your car, you place this gift that you've just purchased that how many people just saw you walk across the parking lot. You put it in your car, and you turn around and go back into the shopping center. What makes you think that that's not a bad idea? I mean, what makes you think that someone isn't watching you and is going to break into your car and steal that? At the very least, pack those things around with you to get ready to leave, then lock them in the back of your car and move your car someplace else before you go and do some more shopping. I guess, is that one of those common sense things that I kind of vent on and people look at me like, well, I've locked my car. That seems to me that something you should think about. Anybody got anything out there that's kind of bugging them that they'd like to give me a call and talk about? Kind of just winging it here for things that interest me. I'll come to another subject. We've got, you know, a lot of conversation going around, this is the local scene, about our Board of Supervisors. And unfortunately, most of the, written reported news about what happens with the majority, the current majority of the board, it's pretty negative. No matter what those three people do that are forming the majority on the board right now, it's very negative. I would encourage all of you to take the time to read beyond the published news snippets. Record Searchlight, Shasta Scout, One News Cafe, one of those things. And look for the stuff that's posted. Specifically, Supervisor Cry does a blog at the end of each meeting or periodically about what happened, what occurred at the meeting. His take on what the board did and the issue that was before them and the decision that was made. Chairman Jones also has put out a lot of information, has had some public meetings. I would encourage you to look at both sides of it. Listen to their side of it as well as what you're reading on a regular basis. I think you'd find it interesting that not everything you read is totally factual. A lot of it's out of context. And there's always two sides to any story. As most of you know, I spent 20 years as an elected official. I sat on boards where we pretty much agreed on everything. There were periods of time where we had, when I first got on the Board of Supervisors, Senator Johannesson and I formed a new majority, a change of the way things were going on the Board of Supervisors with Supervisor Molly Wilson. There was all kinds of speculation about how all of these changes, and there were some changes. Having said that, there were lively discussions amongst the five of us, and there were a lot of 3-2 votes. Sometimes those 3-2 votes were not what people anticipated. It was the first time, probably the only time to my knowledge, that there were three females on the Board of Supervisors, which people were amazed at, because that in Shasta County didn't think that would happen. And they thought, well, nobody would want the three women. We weren't a majority most of the time, but we did have votes that went that way. The point I'm getting at is that as each one of these discussions went forward and each issue was resolved, at some point you take a vote. And whatever that vote is, that is what happened. That is how you're moving forward. At that point, it's time to accept the verdict, accept the vote, and move forward. Unfortunately, what we seem to be doing is we're taking votes, we're making decisions. Whether you agree or disagree with those, those votes have been taken. Now it's time to move on with that decision and move forward. What we seem to be doing is trying to change it, continue to work towards changing what the board has already decided to do. That's counterproductive. That's not how our system works. We are a republic form of government. We elect people to make decisions for us. And they make decisions, and that's how it moves forward. The constant bickering about every decision that has been made and trying to undo it somehow or change that course of action, it is not good for our community. And I would say that the board meetings, they needn't be so controversial all the time. We need to really, maybe this is a good time of year to take stock of how we behave as individuals, and remember that when you go into the board meeting, there's an agenda, there is an opportunity for everyone to be heard. During that period, you get up, you have your say. If you're standing at the podium, there is never an opportunity in a well-organized public meeting for anyone to just speak. Certainly not from the audience. Just speak. That isn't acceptable in quality atmospheres. When you're at the podium, you get to say what you need to say. That is under the purview of the Board of Supervisors. I would challenge that sometimes what's being said there, the people speaking need to be reminded that that's not under the purview of the Board of Supervisors and therefore is not an appropriate topic for open time in a Board of Supervisors meeting. Having said that, once that open period, that public time is over, the audience is done. Now you're spectators. It is not okay ever, once it's returned to the board, the people we have elected to speak, it is never appropriate for anyone from the audience to be talking. Inappropriate is the least of what it is. It's just not okay. It's unfortunate that there is not a better ability to remove those people from the audience. Whatever, there should never be an opportunity for them to just speak from the audience. And at some point, that needs to be controlled. I would remind you, actually, that it was not this board that started that practice, and that allowed, it's not this majority of this board, that allowed the Board of Supervisors meetings to get so totally out of control. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Four Winds Jewelers. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. I just can't say enough good things about Four Winds Jewelry. They're having their anniversary sale right now. They have such a fine selection of beautiful jewelry, any kind of thing that you'd want. If you want a special thing made, they have necklaces and earrings and rings and all kinds of pins and pendants. They have estate jewelry, a lot of Indian stuff, a lot of turquoise. Just a beautiful selection for a gift for that special someone. Or if you just like to maybe buy something for yourself for Christmas, it's a great opportunity to do so. We'll be right back after these messages.
Because this time of year, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Whether you're born in country or the country lifestyle was born in you, celebrate Christmas country style at the Christmas celebration of the decade at historic Haas Farms, a country Christmas playground where folks gather to play as hard as they work. All ages invited and all are welcome. Catch a ride on a country-covered wagon or the mighty Haas Express and view lights on the farm. Warm yourself by glowing fires, roast s'mores, sip cocoa, and enjoy the friendship and freedom that these country folks have enjoyed for over 150 years. Let the kids loose to enjoy all the rides from go-karts to roller coasters. Ice skate for as long as you like, free, thanks to Haas Ranch and Farm Supply. Reserve your ticket to ride today at historichaasfarms.com or simply head out to Haas Farms and yell, Merry Christmas. They'll know what you need. And have a very Merry Christmas from Greg and Nicola Haas.
Goldleaf Nursery has you covered. Protect your citrus trees and frost tender shrubs from freezing. Goldleaf Nursery has frost cloth in assorted sizes and custom cut sizes up to 12 feet wide. Just arrived. Living Christmas trees. Choose from Colorado blue spruce, baby blue spruce, Norway spruce, dwarf Alberta fir trees, and fat Albert blue spruce. Tis the season to be freezing. So don't forget to cover up with frost cloth. Goldleaf Nursery is open Tuesday through Saturday from 8 to 5. We're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Saddle up and ring in the new year the wild, wild way at the 2023 New Year's Eve Bash in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
Live music from Lance Michael Cornwell will keep your boots tapping and the dance floor hopping all night long.
Enjoy a delicious buffet, dessert, swag, and drink specials.
The fun starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at just $65 plus fees.
Or go VIP for only $300 per couple, including a one-night stay at our luxurious hotel.
For tickets or complete details, visit WinRiver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from four different car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free. Or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We had a little bit of a faux pas there, a little unaccustomed as I am to doing anything here. Something stuck, and we're sorry about that. We're sorry about that little bit of dead air that made us all wonder what was going on. So it is Friday morning, and it's 7:51, about 47 degrees in downtown Reading. Gosh, it's going to be a nice weekend. This is Trish Clark this morning, and we're just kind of visiting. Hopefully we're going to have a guest in the next hour. I believe One Safe Place is going to be here. If they don't, I think Sue McClain's going to join me for the next hour. But anyway, we'll have a conversation. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, this is certainly your opportunity. You can give me a call at 605-4567. I've been just kind of randomly jumping from subject to subject, and I was talking a little bit about the Board of Supervisors or our elected officials in general, and how, from my perspective, it has changed so dramatically from the 20 years that I spent in office. And there's some perceptions out there, and someone brought to my attention that sometimes it appears that people get into office, and then they do that and use that as a stepping stone to accomplish something that they want, and they use it to something that, let's say, perhaps benefits them in some way. And I think we can all point to a few of those situations, and I'm going to kind of go on both sides of this issue. There was, and I've forgotten his name, quite frankly, it just leaves me, but there was one of the gentlemen who served on the city council in Reading who developed Big League Dreams, very involved in that whole process, and then left the city council and ended up working for them. Bazzetti, got very involved in the city council and the ballpark that he did, and now whether that benefited him or it didn't, but certainly that was something that he was, I mean, everybody that knows Rick Bazzetti knows he's a baseball, absolutely, and so did that benefit him? It certainly benefited the community, but it seemed like a personal project. Right now we're dealing with Patrick Jones and his gun club. He's the chairman of the board. The gun club is certainly a project that he's very interested in. And so some might say that this is rather self-serving for him to bring that up at this time because it's going to benefit him. Yeah, I'm going to kind of take the other side of that only because I was a member of the Reading Gun Club. My family and my husband and son we did skeet shooting and shooting, very active with the Reading Gun Club when it was here in Reading, and then they closed it because of encroaching a population. Patrick Jones has, in fact, been trying to establish a gun club ever since then. So it's not like he went out of his way, got on the Board of Supervisors, and he, only so that he could realize his dream of a gun club, and that some, even though they voted to proceed with it, it looks, I mean, I think we have some lawsuits now that to stop that. I think it's a hard line if you're in a position, to make something happen that's a dream of yours, it may seem self-serving to accomplish that while you're on the Board of Supervisors. I guess I could probably say myself, I was in a position at the right time, at the right place, to make one of my longtime dreams come true, and that was the senior center for the South County, with a tremendous senior population down in the Anderson, Cottonwood, Happy Valley, South County area, and no senior services. Back in the 80s, we had moved Shasta Senior Nutrition, I don't know what, 15 or 20 times into different locations trying to provide congregate meals for the population down there. And it just wasn't sticking. I was in a position where I was able to get a grant through the State of California Community Development Block Grants and create the Frontier Senior Center in Anderson. And I'm still to this day involved with the Frontier Senior Center. I still run it. Remind everyone of the great breakfast that we have down there on the first Sunday of every month in our thrift store that we run. But I guess if you wanted to say that I did use my position, I was in the right place at the right time to apply for those grants, meet the right people, and get the donations that to make that facility a reality. I don't know that why. I can't say that I haven't personally benefited from that, because it's part of my life, certainly something that you can't just retire and do nothing. So the senior center has been my go-to for the last 26 years. We all get involved, I guess, as elected officials, and maybe that's what we're supposed to do. And hopefully the community doesn't see it as self-serving and that's the only reason that we're there. Sometimes that probably is. I want to also complete the thought that I was going to say about the Board of Supervisors meetings and the why they are how they are. This happened back in the pandemic. That board, in my opinion, was not responsive to the community. They did a lot of things that really infuriated people. There's a whole lot of better ways that they could have protected themselves during what they thought was an exposure from the pandemic, and not absolutely ignored the people. People got belligerent. They got angry. Unfortunately, we've been unable to put that aside and start to behave like rational human beings on both sides. I would say that the board's behavior, they argue about whatever they're going to argue about just to be arguing, and that's all five of them from time to time. And certainly the audience on both sides, whether you agree with the new majority or you don't, they're simply out of line. When we used to have meetings, people came to the meeting if they had some interest, some particular thing that was going on. This idea of just showing up to scream every time is counterproductive. And that's whether you're supporting what they're doing or you're opposed to what they're doing. Come with solutions. I guess I'm preaching to the choir here. Those of you who agree with me, some of you think you're having some kind of an impact going in there and chastising the members of the board and screaming at them or chastising other people in the audience. I can tell you that from the view of most of the people, it's just kind of out of control. And it would be a nice thing if maybe we could start the first of the year with a kind of a new attitude and make constructive criticism show up, certainly be a part of your government, but listen to both sides, learn what you're talking about before you make any decisions, and then agree to disagree from time to time. Agree that you're not always going to be headed in the same direction, and once that decision is made, it's made. That's where you're going. This person has been hired. This is where, how we're moving forward. Quit trying to change it and go back to it. Just move on to the next decision. That's how our government is supposed to work. We can't continue to try to do it over, do over. It's not productive, and I just can't see that it makes any sense to be doing that all the time. That's my two cents, and that, gosh, you know, I can do that because it's that time of year. This second portion of the show has been brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial, 221-0441. All kinds of insurance needs, financial needs under one roof. They've been helping families, seniors, and business owners since 1993, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give Judy a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back after the news and these messages.
Days of yore, faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this far from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Facing legal challenges on multiple fronts while running for president and running a business empire at the same time, former President Trump isn't giving up. Far from it. He tells the Salem Radio Network's Hugh Hewitt that absolutely he's challenging the Colorado Supreme Court ruling, kicking him off the state's Republican primary ballot.
We're in the process of doing it. Everybody thinks exactly what you're saying. They're trying to take the election away from the voters. And this is the same group. I guess it's crew. I've beaten them about 20 times. I beat them on emoluments. They sued me. They sue me on anything. It's a group of radical left lunatics.
Even the Washington Post, in an opinion piece, is trashing the Colorado ruling. House Republicans releasing records showing that then-Vice President Biden was much more involved in Hunter Biden's overseas business affairs, specifically his business dealings in Ukraine, than he has admitted.
According to the records, Joe exchanged emails with his son Hunter's business associate, Eric Schwerin, 54 times while he was serving as vice president. All told, then-Vice President Biden emailed Schwerin 35 times before and after his 2014 trips to Ukraine. Most of the communication took place in the lead-up to and following an agreement for Hunter to serve on the board of Burisma. Edwin Mora, Washington.
What to do about the record-shattering flood of illegal immigrants across the southern border? President Biden is sending a high-level delegation to Mexico to talk about it. But Republicans insist that real border security involves enforcing U.S. immigration law, bringing back the Remain in Mexico policy, and building the border wall. Watching Wall Street, stocks are higher this morning. The Dow is up 26 points. The NASDAQ ahead 34, and the S&P is trading 12 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
Three foreign nationals among 25 people wounded after a student opened fire at a university in the Czech capital of Prague. 14 people were killed.
The mass shooting is one of the Czech Republic's worst attacks in recent years. Minister Vít Rakušan says police in Prague worked overnight and 13 of those killed have been identified. He also said three of those wounded were foreigners, two from Saudi Arabia and one from the Netherlands. The bloodshed took place on Thursday at the Faculty of Arts of Charles University, where the 24-year-old shooter was a student. He also died, authorities say. His name has not been released. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
One of the world's largest electric vehicle manufacturers, China's BYD, will open its first European EV manufacturing plant in Hungary. The Hungarian foreign minister says the plant, to be located in the country's south, is expected to employ thousands of people. News and analysis at townhall.com. One South American country may reap a windfall from the depths of the ocean.
The Colombian government will try to raise objects from the 1708 shipwreck of the galleon San Jose, which is believed to contain a cargo worth billions of dollars. The fate of the 300-year-old wreck has been controversial because it's both an archaeological and an economic treasure. The first attempts will be made between April and May, depending on ocean conditions in the Caribbean. Colombia's culture minister pledged it would be a scientific expedition, but the ship's 11 million gold and silver coins, emeralds, and other precious cargo from Spanish-controlled colonies could be worth billions of dollars if ever recovered. Keith Peters reporting.
American EV maker Tesla planning to produce energy storage batteries in China. Those plans are advancing with a signing ceremony for the land acquisition for the new factory in Shanghai. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and you can give us a call at 605-4567. It's Friday morning, just getting very close to Christmas, and this is Trish Clark, obviously, not Carl and Linda. They're on vacation with their family, enjoying the Christmas holidays, and I'm just kind of bringing in the last of the shows before Christmas. And welcome you here with us this morning. It's about 47 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 65 and a low this evening of 42. On Saturday, sunny, a high of 59. Saturday night, increasing clouds and a low of 36. But on Sunday, mostly sunny again, high of 57. Sunday night, partly cloudy and a low of 39. They were calling for rain on Christmas Day, but now they're saying mostly sunny. A high of 58, a low of 41. And on Tuesday, a high of 58 and a low of 42. The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. We're going to go to the phones right now and talk to Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Trish. Good morning, everyone. Well, the stocks remain in the green this morning, looking to complete an eighth straight week of gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 11 points at 37,416. The S&P 500 is positive 10 points at 4,757, and the NASDAQ Composite gaining 65 points at 15,029. Actively traded stocks this morning, Marathon Digital Holdings up $1.25, trading at $26.03. Tesla up $1.26, trading at $255.77. Rocket Labs up $1.16 at $5.57. And NIO up 18 cents, trading at $8.48 per share. Over in the bond department, the 10-year treasury note is priced to yield 3.90%. For commodities, gold is up $11 an ounce, trading at $2,063. Silver down a nickel at $24.42 per ounce. And crude oil is priced at $74 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President, Investments, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR. And everyone have a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy the green today.
Thank you, Susan, and Merry Christmas to you, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to get down to business here this morning. I'm joined in the studio this hour with Kimberly
Johnson.
Johnson.
That's right.
And she's from One Safe Place and Children's Legacy Center. Now, I have to tell you, I'm familiar with One Safe Place and was quite involved with that whole process when it was getting started and
Absolutely.
That great thing.
Yeah.
Having said that, we're going to just learn together this morning. I don't know how many of you are aware of the Children's Legacy Center. I know a little bit about it, not a lot, but we're going to learn a lot this morning. We're looking forward to Kimberly telling us all about all the exciting things that are happening in those areas.
Well, thank you so much for having me this morning. I am very happy to be here.
So the One Safe Place, tell us, we assume that because we know what that is, everybody that's listening to us does. So explain to us first what One Safe Place is.
Yeah, well, you know, we stepped in a leadership capacity at One Safe Place about a year ago now, and I'll be the first to admit what even my own assumptions of all that One Safe Place did was pretty limited. I think that within just a matter of weeks of getting into the space and getting to know the staff, my gosh, they do a lot.
Yes,
and so the most obvious is we obviously run our local domestic violence shelter. I also think that there's a little bit of just a trigger warning that's worth being given anytime we're having conversations about the people that we serve that are victimized by domestic violence or sexual assault or child abuse. And so that can be tender for people, I think, that are listening in. But we have our local domestic violence shelter. We also have a 24/7 crisis hotline that receives over 1,000 calls a year that people who have been impacted by a variety of things from domestic violence to human trafficking, people that just have concerns and maybe want to reach out to a safe space, they'll call into our hotline. We also have a transitional housing program, and we're really excited. We just opened up our first apartment complex in collaboration with Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, and we're getting ready to expand to a 12-unit little apartment kind of complex that we are so excited for our clients to be able to transition out of our shelter into long-term housing options.
That's very exciting.
It's very exciting. And then we have a really significant client services department that during our business hours, we receive lots of drop-ins of folks that are coming in that need our access to our services. And then those advocates will also respond after hours if victims are needing some support at the hospital after a sexual assault, things like that.
And I remember one of the things that was so satisfying for me about One Safe Place was that if a person was in that in the facility, all of the services that they need to transition on were brought to them there. They weren't bouncing around to go to this agency and that agency if they needed things for children's services or adult protective services, any of that other stuff. It was all right there for them. They didn't have to go be traveling.
Yes, the original model of what One Safe Place is today was modeled both after taking our local domestic violence shelter, which is Shasta Women's Refuge, which has been around for, my gosh, like more than 50 years in our community, yeah, which is incredible, and our local Family Justice Center, which was started out of our local DA's office. And so when those two came together in, I believe, about 2010, took 3 years to get this building open, that was the original hope and vision and dream. And I think over the course of the years, but more than that, especially on the other side of the impact of COVID, about a year ago, there weren't any on-site partners that were there full-time remaining.
Oh, wow.
And so that was one of the things that the board of directors felt was really important, that we prioritize bringing those on-site partners back again on the other side of COVID and just overall organizational changes that happen through the life cycle of an organization. So we are very excited that Crime Victims Assistance at the DA's office is now back in a rhythmic and consistent way, and we are working to bring all of our other partners back on site at One Safe Place.
Now, and to see that thing, because I go back, because I was very involved, like I say, when we were starting this whole project.
Yes.
And that was when I was in office, but I forget, it's been 17 years since I left office, and so
wow,
a lot has happened in that time,
yeah,
and certainly a lot of those organizations have changed,
yeah,
and you know, morphed into different things. So how many people are you serving at One Safe Place now?
So I think total, I mean, it depends on, it breaks apart depending on all of our programs. Our shelter itself has 13 bedrooms, and we hit a couple of swells where we were at full capacity. I think the most kids that we had in the program this year was about 25. And so 25 kids in one space is a lot. As I said, our crisis hotline gets over 1,000 calls a year. We can conservatively estimate we serve about 1,500 people in our community every single year.
Wow. Yeah, and it's such a great need, and it's such a warm place for them to be to solve those problems.
Yeah.
So, you know what? We're going to take a break a little bit early, and then we're going to go in and talk about Children's Legacy Center.
That sounds wonderful.
That plays in.
Perfect.
We'll
Thank
be right
you.
Back after these messages.
Whether you're born country or the country lifestyle was born in you, celebrate Christmas country style at the Christmas celebration of the decade at historic Hawes Farms, a country Christmas playground where folks gather to play as hard as they work. All ages invited and all are welcome. Catch a ride on a country covered wagon or the mighty Hawes Express and view lights on the farm. Warm yourself by glowing fires, roast s'mores, sip cocoa, and enjoy the friendship and freedom that these country folks have enjoyed for over 150 years. Let the kids loose to enjoy all the rides from go-karts to roller coasters. Ice skate for as long as you like, free, thanks to Hawes Ranch and Farm Supply. Reserve your ticket to ride today at historichawsfarms.com or simply head out to Hawes Farms and yell, Merry Christmas! They'll know what you need. And have a very Merry Christmas from Greg and Nicola Hawes.
Black Bear Diner is open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Feast on traditional home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham on trays with all the fixings. Available Christmas Eve or day starting at 11 for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Or stop by and enjoy a selection of your favorite regular menu items. Spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with Black Bear Diner. Open daily, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing up this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Casa 1910. If you've been curious, perhaps even tempted, to try a Mexican puro, this is the stick to get. An absolute pleasure to smoke, and honestly, one of my all-time top tens, the Casa 1910. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
If you are 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday. Check in at the River Club with your River Club card and play your favorite slot machine to receive 5x points from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. While you're in points, you can put your points back on your slot machine for more playtime, or redeem your points for dining vouchers, gas vouchers, or a variety of other prizes. For more information, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has teamed up with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salutes to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the military for their service. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features one-of-a-kind decorations, ornaments, wreaths, and garland, vintage glassware and table settings, paintings, jewelry, sports memorabilia, and collectibles along with toys and treasures in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday, 10 to 6.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, KCNR1460.com. If you'd like to stream, if you have a question about what we're talking about now, give us a call at 605-4567. I'm visiting with Kimberly here, and we're talking about One Safe Place. And now we're going to jump a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Children's Legacy Center. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about this. I certainly don't. So tell me about this, Kimberly.
Well, thank you so much for asking about it. Yes, so the Children's Legacy Center was originally founded in 2016, and it was our core service delivery model was around something called a Children's Advocacy Center. And really, a Children's Advocacy Center is essentially the gold standard by which kids who have experienced really significant trauma are able to come and tell the story of what has happened to them without having to go to multiple locations, such as a police department or a child investigative office, potentially if what has occurred to them is connected to some sort of a crime. So it ensures that kiddos who have experienced specifically abuse and neglect and trafficking, as an example, are not having to retell the story of their abuse, sometimes upwards of 6 to 10 times. And so in 2016 in Shasta County, we had our local DA's office and a representative from child welfare that went down to a conference in San Diego and learned a lot more about this model and brought it back and said, we have to see this vision actualized in Shasta County.
We talked yesterday on the show about the trafficking issue. Yeah. And I'm still amazed at how people are unaware of how real that problem is. They see it as something that happens someplace else, and that's just not true. It's alive and well right here and has been an issue and is being addressed, but people are just unaware of it.
Yeah, I think there's a lack of an awareness, and there's also it's interesting how in the other areas of that we serve, the other services that we provide to other victims, they have not been as influenced by, honestly, like kind of the Hollywoodized version of what something is or the narrative version of what something is versus what it actually looks like in our community. And I think what we need to understand, especially when it comes to trafficking, is the significant impact on the technology has really had on the way in which perpetrators are accessing victims at really young ages. I mean, we screen every single child ages 8 and up with a human trafficking screening. And so that's how young we're seeing victims of trafficking in our community.
I've witnessed it and I've been aware of it. It happens to be something that I got, I don't know how involved following for years.
Yeah.
It's appalling. It's probably one of the most serious things that I think happen in our community, and it's worldwide.
Absolutely.
It's an absolutely huge thing, and so I'm glad that the awareness is coming forward a little bit more, but there needs to be so much more done.
Yeah, there absolutely does, and I think there also, this is where part of the beauty of my job is, like, the hope juxtaposes the hard, right? And so I really get to have this kind of front row seat to the work that's being done specifically around child trafficking and exploitation and how solutions are being driven both at a local level and at our state level. The Children's Legacy Center is currently piloting a 25-county model for trafficked youth specifically. And so that's, as you know, kind of in the storyline, I know we got off a little bit, but it's an important topic to get off on. And so as we kind of are continuing to build out this pilot program for victims of child trafficking specifically, it's been really honestly inspirational to see the work that's being done locally and at a state level to provide solutions for these victims.
So how does that look? I mean, so what happens when you have a child, they've been trafficked? What happens to that? How does that look to in the community?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, I think at any given time, there's about 50,000, I think is the last time I heard a number, which was probably about a year ago, 50,000 various ways that people can access victims online, which is unbelievable. Now, keep in mind, that is both children and adults.
Exactly.
And so this is where it would actually be like really cool to bring in likely somebody like Jake Duncan from the Sheriff's Department, who really can talk about the frontline side of human trafficking. Or we have Chief Deputy District Attorney Sarah Murphy, who she led a really significant case in Shasta County, the Baldwin Green case, which I believe was in 2016-17, where there were 7 victims of human trafficking. And this was honestly like it was a local community member that saw something suspicious, called and reported it. They did an investigation, and it turned out to be a really significant house where multiple victims were being trafficked. And so it was a lot of, like, hard work and investigation and ultimately brought to a really significant prosecution. And I think at a really big picture level, like, if I could try to say anything to anyone about human trafficking just to like anchor it a little bit, is that our law enforcement officers, our district attorney's office, our child welfare workers, our victims advocates, like, they are doing this work. Those victims are integrated with the other victims that we serve. And so while it seems like this whole other separate thing, and there's a lot of talk around, you know, these groups that want to go out, and the number of times that people tell me, well, can I just go out and rescue kids? And it just simply doesn't work like that. Like, that's really the job of law enforcement and child welfare and the DA's office.
So if someone is you get a call like that, and what happens to that child when they're removed from that situation? Do we have a place where those kids go?
Yeah, so if it's something where they need to be removed from the situation, that's something that child welfare will take lead on. In terms of connectivity to the Children's Legacy Center, what that looks like is law enforcement will call us and let us know that there is an investigation. The allegation is what we call CSEC, so commercial sexual exploitation of children. And we schedule an interview at our center, so that's really kind of our very first program is our building over on Shasta Street. And so this is where victims of all types of crime, human trafficking included, will come, and they sit and they meet with one of our interviewers, and then down at the other end of the building, the entire investigative team is able to watch that interview take place live and feed questions into our interviewer, so then that way that kiddo is not having to retell that story.
A million times.
That's exactly right.
And yes. What physically happens to that child then?
So, I mean, I think it depends. And I know that that's like the worst answer ever. And prior to me being this interconnected with so many allied agency partners, I used to hate the answer, it depends, because I'm like, I really like clear answers, but it really does. It depends. I think if the victim is safe to be in their own home, child welfare will work with non-offending family members in order to come up with a safety plan to ensure that that child is able to remain safe. If the child is not able to remain safe in their home, then there's a variety of pathways. What's called a short-term residential therapeutic program, which is a program that is heavily funded by state dollars in order to help provide really intensive services, supportive services for these kiddos, or potentially they're going into the foster care system.
Okay, now the foster care system is a whole other subject because there's some good and bad stuff out there that I've been reading about. Short-term, are these? Do we have special clearances? Obviously, a child that's been through those circumstances needs a special foster care system to be in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As opposed to just, you know.
Right. As opposed to just, I think there's levels of care, and this is where child welfare really is the experts on being able to speak to this. And I think there's honestly good and bad everywhere. I don't know that there's anything all good anywhere. So I totally hear what you're saying on the foster care side of like good and bad, but I also do not envy the position that they're put in to try to, provide the services that they provide day in, day out is really unbelievable. So I do think that, I'm sorry, you asked about the STRTP. So the Short-Term Residential Therapeutic Program, it's a license by the state, and so you have to actually go through a really significant state licensing process, and the staff goes through a very intensive trainings, and then there's also a lot of mental health support being able to be provided to those kids.
So they actually go into a home where there's staff and people to take care of them and deal with their needs.
That's right.
Where they're safe.
And it's honestly, it's not an ideal setting, right? I think we know as a society that congregate care is not what's best for kids and young people. And so we're really looking at, and it is one of the things that the Children's Legacy Center is proactively doing, is we're looking at how do we work with survivors of human trafficking in order to ensure that all of the models that we're setting up to provide support to this particular population is able to be informed by them, that they're actually able to help model and design the program itself. Because honestly, this population is hard. They run a lot. You know, it's a challenging population to work with for sure, but also incredibly meaningful and worthwhile work.
Well, I want to get back a little bit to what you said. There's several thousand ways that they are contacted or get into this system. Mm-hmm. Are we talking like Facebook and online and just the what is an 8-year? How do you contact an 8-year-old?
Well, so I mean the age that kids are accessing smartphone devices, I think that if you have a child that has access to a smartphone, then there is some degree of risk in that. And I have 5 kids. My youngest is 9, and they don't all have smartphones, but they all have, you know, my younger ones have like iPods that they get to play on. And so it's a known risk, and it's a conversation to be had, and I think this is where parents need to know what their kids are doing on their phone. But to answer your question, yes, the ability to access youth through, I mean, anything that you can interact with a stranger online. So whether it's video games, my child brought me something one time probably about a year ago, and she was attempted to be contacted on Roblox, which is this little game that seems innocent, but because we had had conversations about it, she knew what the signs were to look for, and so she immediately brought it to me. We reported them. We changed up some of the structures on the way that she was accessing her phone. But certainly Roblox, Snapchat, I mean, you name it, any sort of way where you're able to communicate with strangers online, there's some inherent degree of risk.
So part of this whole thing certainly is going to boil down to parents being responsible for what their children are looking at. I think we witness a lot of times that we're busy. We get involved with things.
Yeah.
It's easier to have the child entertain themselves on these devices than it is to pay attention to what they're doing. That's got to be maybe something we teach our kids as they're growing up, that if you're going to have kids, you've got to be responsible. You need to know what they're doing. And I think there needs to be a bigger emphasis on that.
I think that the hope is not that the kids, not that there is just an extreme amount of oversight, but that when the child or youth gets into a situation, that they feel safe to come to you as a parent.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's the salt of it, right? Is us being able to create relationships with our kids that when they're scared or when they're afraid or when somebody's potentially has put them at risk, that they go, oh gosh, what is mom going to say? Versus I need to call my mom. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's that, because at this point the ship has sailed on the fact that people will have access to our kids. It's not a matter of if, but when. So it's, yeah, that's the space as parents. That's our responsibility.
Okay. Good place to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Yes, it's Christmas. Thank God it's Christmas. One night.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Redding has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from four different car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free. Or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Redding. Quick and clean.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Please come home for Christmas. If not for Christmas, by New Year's night.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's KCNR1460.com if you're streaming, and you can give us a call at 605-4567. It's Friday before Christmas, and I'm visiting here with Kimberly from One Safe Place at Children's Legacy Center. This is Trish Clark. We're wrapping up the time before Christmas here. Carl and Linda are enjoying their children at Christmas, and we're all getting ready for Santa to come and the birth of Christ, and we're all wrapped up about that. In the meantime, we're visiting about one Children's Legacy Center, and I'm learning a lot this morning because I'm not that familiar with this organization. So Kimberly's going to kind of tell us all of the things that they're doing out there.
Yes. So as I was saying a little bit earlier, we started out as a children's advocacy center. So we provide what's called forensic interviews. We also have on-site forensic medical exams. So kiddos can come into our space, which is much smaller rather than having to go to the hospital if they need a medical exam following some sort of sexual assault that has taken place or other physical abuse. And we additionally, over the course of the last couple of years, have grown quite a little bit. And so we currently now have a foster family agency. And so it's the Children's Legacy Center Foster Family Agency. And we are really trying to cultivate a sense of community for our foster parents. And so it's been a really beautiful process to kind of see the way in which these families, especially at the holidays, have come around the kids that they serve. It's been really, really cool to witness. Additionally, we have actually that short-term residential therapeutic program that I was telling you about. We just received our license last month, and we're hoping to open in quarter one of next year. And then it's very exciting. And then the Children's Legacy Center for Resilience is our outpatient behavioral health clinic. And really at the beginning, our number one focus, not just as the Children's Legacy Center, but really as our entire board of directors and the allied agency partners we work with in law enforcement and child welfare.
And who all makes up your board?
So our current board of directors is Dean Germano, from Shasta Community Health Center, is our board chair. And then we have Aaron Reisner, Judy Flores, Superintendent of Shasta County Office of Education. And also Sheriff Johnson is on my board. District Attorney Bridget is one of my board members. Chief Paletsky, John Paletsky of the Anderson Police Department. We currently are just right in between Chiefs of Police at the Reading Police Department, and we are very excited that Chief Barner is going to be attending our next board meeting, our upcoming board meeting in January. And so, yes, that's our current board of directors.
So we have all of the important law enforcement people in the community who are here to that's encouraging to have that kind of input directly from the people in charge.
Absolutely. And it was so important, especially as we were getting started, right? We wanted to build a protocol. I said that, you know, I didn't build a table and ask everybody to come sit at it. Like, we actually built the table together. And so we wanted to build a protocol that wasn't just going to be driven by any one agency, that was going to work for all of us together collectively. And although the CLC gets to facilitate the actual process of the forensic interviews and some of the case review side, really each one of those individuals doing their respective roles, like that's the magic, right? Like they're the unsung heroes of this that should be getting a lot of the credit.
Well, and certainly this time of year, we always want to send out well wishes for our first responders and all of those agencies.
Absolutely.
And the work that they do in our community on all levels.
That's right.
They are to be so respected and so supported. I can't say that often enough. That,
agreed.
You can't say enough about our law enforcement. And we're really blessed in Shasta County that we have such a great cooperating agencies between all of the agencies. As you just indicated, you've got the sheriff, the city of Reading, the city of Anderson, district attorney, everybody involved in trying to go forward for this community, which is not just the city of Reading. It's Shasta County as a whole.
That's right.
And that's important always to recognize.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And I think that there's been times, especially right now, when our community just, I think, has such a sense of division in so many ways that I wish that people could get this like little window into, honestly, like into our board meetings where I get to sit and I get to watch these incredible stakeholders that show up and fight for this community in the most honestly inspiring way and look for, and I think in their own time are looking for ways to give back and to work directly with the community and to make decisions that make sense. I mean, it's just, it's been the most profound honor of my, honestly, of my career to get to sit and be a witness to them.
And I think that's important, and I'll tie back in. In the first hour, I was expanding at random thoughts. And one of the things that I touched on is the fact that we're focusing at this point in time, I think incorrectly, on the negative things that are happening in our Board of Supervisors or our City Council and what have you.
Yeah.
And we're failing to take a step back, take a deep breath, and look at what we as a community are all trying to accomplish. And we need to start focusing as a community and as these elected boards on what we have in common. We need to agree to disagree from time to time and move forward instead of focusing on changing and beating to death the same subjects over and over again, because there's so much good work going on with all of these agencies that we've got to stop being sidelined by the negativity.
Yeah, I think especially this time of year, it's the perfect way to kind of dovetail into on the other side of Give Reading and all our holiday store that we've seen. I mean, this is my first time in this position where I'm currently operating as interim CEO of One Safe Place. And gosh, the way in which this community shows up is like, I've been completely blown away. And I've thought the same thing so many times. I mean, we will see all of our toys cleared out, and then literally within like a matter of days, there's like a whole new shipment of, I'm like, is there like a Toys R Us truck that keeps dropping off these toys? I mean, it's just unbelievable what our community has done. And so, yeah, there's a lot of good here. There's a lot of good people here.
And we need to start focusing on that a whole lot more. And stop interpreting every decision or statement that's made any place in the negative point. Try to find something positive about that and move forward with it. I think we could maybe that'll be our New Year's resolution.
I mean, I think, you know, we can hope to get there as a community, and I know that we will all do our individual parts to do what we can to get us there.
Absolutely. Yep. So this has got to be a hard time for you've got Christmas coming up, and you've got all these kids that are in these various things. Mm-hmm. What kind of fun things are happening for them with this?
Yeah, well, you know, so last year on Christmas morning, we don't yet know how many kids will wake up in our shelter on Christmas morning because it's not Christmas Eve yet. But last year on Christmas morning, we had 24 children that woke up on Christmas morning in our shelter. And gosh, I think as a mom, I just try to imagine what that must be like. And I don't know about you. For me, holiday times and seasons they're sacred. And so when we think about, especially somebody who's been victimized by domestic violence, especially if the person who has victimized them was their primary provider, right? I mean, things that seem simple, like a Christmas tree and ornaments, is potentially traditions that they won't be able to do this year. And so we've worked really hard on two fronts. One is looking at the individual families that we've served and providing really customized approaches to the way that we're providing them with their Thanksgiving meals, ensuring that, you know, we don't want to give a turkey to a family that doesn't have an oven to cook it in.
Got
right?
It.
Like
yeah.
Things like that. And then the other thing is just, gosh, our Christmas store and the way that we have had families come through our Christmas store, which has provided really kind of like Christmas in a bag for 49 families. As of yesterday, there's 215 individuals that have shopped. And then my team just sent me this quote and said, one of the families approached the staff in tears afterwards and said, thank you. You saved my Christmas. So it's stuff like that, right, that we're getting to see.
Oh, that's what a neat deal. So they can actually go through and shop in your...
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, that's what it looks like. I mean, those are the things that we need to picture, because we can say a lot of words about statistics and what have you, but sometimes we just need a visual of what does it happen. So you actually have a mother that can go through and pick things up and shop for... that's very moving.
And we just, you know, one of the things that we've really focused on this last year has just been so much of the core internal work, which means anything that's like the outward facing has been less of a priority. So we haven't historically done a great job of telling our story. And over the course of the last two or three months, we've really prioritized going, gosh, there really is a lot of good happening and we need to tell that story well. So we just started back up doing our monthly newsletters that you can sign up for on our website, both at the Children's Legacy Center and One Safe Place. And you can also see all of this content on both of our social medias on Instagram and Facebook. And you get to actually do a walkthrough of the Christmas store, because my gosh, it looks pretty epic. It's pretty great.
Oh, and I would encourage everybody to look at that, because I'm a very visual visual person. I want to. I keep saying, what does that look like?
Yes,
how does that
right.
feel?
Yes.
Because I want to see that. That's incredible. So I'd encourage everybody to go to those web pages, and maybe there's a way that you can help. Maybe you've got, you know, I always liked it that for years. I would pick a family and try to do a spontaneous Christmas. That got a little bit more complicated as different things over the years and what have you. But it's always good to think about somebody out there that doesn't have something, and maybe you've got a little extra or what have you, and I want to talk about that a little bit when we come back. This portion of the show has been brought to us by, I should have that ready, Northern Firearms. Visit NorCal Tractor and Equipment for all your Kubota needs, tractors, skid steers, side-by-sides, and so much more. They're down in Anderson. They've got the neatest kind of, you need a last-minute gift for a kid that loves tractors or what have you. They've got some great gift ideas down there. Go down and see them at 2540 Gateway Drive, or give them a call at 221-6800, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota VX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota VX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Mark your calendars and buckle up for the Cadillac CT5 giveaway at Wind River Resort and Casino. Play any of our exciting table games with your River Club card to earn entry. Weekly drawings every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. starting October 6th. All weekly drawing winners receive $200 in chips. Entries multiply as the weeks go on. Join us for the final drawing at 10 p.m. on Saturday, December 23rd for your chance to drive away in the car of your dreams. For details, go to windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Whether you're born in country or the country lifestyle was born in you, celebrate Christmas country style at the Christmas celebration of the decade at historic Haas Farms, a country Christmas playground where folks gather to play as hard as they work. All ages invited and all are welcome. Catch a ride on a country covered wagon or the mighty Haas Express and view lights on the farm. Warm yourself by glowing fires, roast s'mores, sip cocoa, and enjoy the friendship and freedom that these country folks have enjoyed for over 150 years. Let the kids loose to enjoy all the rides from go-karts to roller coasters. Ice skate for as long as you like, free, thanks to Haas Ranch and Farm Supply. Reserve your ticket to ride today at historichaasfarms.com or simply head out to Haas Farms and yell, Merry Christmas! They'll know what you need. And have a very Merry Christmas from Greg and Nicola Haas.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Grandma
got run over by a reindeer.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Friday morning. It's just like 2 days till Christmas. What do we got? December 22nd, 3 days till Christmas. It's coming right up at us really quickly. I can just for sure. And this is Trish Clark, and I've been with you the last 2 days. I hope you've enjoyed what we've provided. We're visiting now with Kimberly from One Safe Place and Children's Legacy Center. We've been talking about all the wonderful things that are happening in our community that are impacting our children and domestic violence, all those things, which probably is not a great Christmas topic, but it is in our community, and I'm happy to say that we're a community that's really trying to do something about all those things. There's some fun stuff coming up. Recently there was the Dancing with the Stars, and so Kimberly's going to give us some statistics about how that all played out.
Oh gosh, so this was my first time ever attending the event, and I have to say, Linda told me that it's so much fun. I feel like everyone said it is so much fun.
It is.
But until you're there and you're like, you experience it, the event itself it's not as easy as I was expecting it to be for us to put it on. And so I was really, like, we actually called it the last dance because I was like, okay, we're going to sunset this event. We're going to reimagine it for next year. And then we like got to the event and we did the event and I was like, crap, I get to like land on my face in front of 1,000 people or however many were in the room and say, okay, I'm so sorry. I was wrong. And we're going to do this again next year because this is really freaking fun.
Yeah.
So we brought in about $83,000 this year, which is really awesome. And Linda was actually one of our judges, which was so fun. And yeah, the couple who were from Redding Rancheria, Dr. Davis and his incredible partner, they swept it. So they were like our Triple Crown winners of Dancing with the Stars. And
it is an incredible event.
It's so much fun. Like, it really is. And I even had somebody, I was in a meeting yesterday, and I had never met this person. They were like, oh, we saw you at Dancing with the Stars, and it was our first time. And I was expecting it to be a little cheesy, and it's actually really not. Like, it's really fun. And so I just want to, I'm encouraging everyone next year. Y'all should come. It's a blast. It really is.
Yeah, it's been one of those really great events.
Yeah, absolutely.
And $83,000. Oh, my gosh.
$83,000. And so, yeah, we're very, very grateful for the community's generosity for sure. And now, you know, it feels like we got to breathe for 3 minutes and go, okay, and crab feed.
And so, the crab feed is you know, historically – One Safe Place crab feed is the second crab feed. The Anderson Rotary is the first crab feed out always, and we always make big thing about that. And that's coming up, I believe, on the 19th of January. And then right around the corner behind that is February 3rd and the One Safe Place crab feed.
Yes. And last year was the first year that we did an after party because we were getting lots of feedback that people weren't quite ready to leave. And so we did an after party and had a band that came out. And honestly, it was a little bit of a, is this going to be a thing? Like, is this going to be fun? And it was a huge success. I mean,
yeah,
people loved it.
That's the Anderson Rotary Crab Feed. That's part of the whole thing. It's a, you get to see everybody and the crab feed and then the after, the band,
the
and what
whole
have
thing.
You. Absolutely. So this is coming up and it's held at the
Anderson Fairgrounds, right. Yes, and you can get tickets at ospshasta.org. And so we're selling tickets, are live online. They are going pretty quickly, which is to be expected. They sell out every single year. This year is a little bit different because we are using a platform that will allow us to hopefully expedite some of our ticketing process. And so you'll be able to purchase all your tickets online and get a little QR code that's sent to your phone and check in quite easily. And so we're hoping to streamline some processes, expecting it to be a little clunky, but it's going to be awesome. We're excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And so remind everybody, these do sell out. If you're interested in doing this, we're looking at February 3rd. You need to sooner rather than later, get online, get your friends together, plan a party, get a whole bunch of people and go because they really are fun events.
Yeah, it really is. It's a blast. We have a really good time. And this year we are we're doing our auction again. We're doing our Dutch raffle as well as our live auction. And so we're doing both. And so if you have items that you're interested in potentially donating for the auction or the raffle, we are, of course, you can reach out to us online and we would love to connect with you. So it's going to be a really fun event. We're excited.
Okay, so what else? We're wrapping up for the end of the year. We've just got a few minutes left here. What else do you want the community to know about what you're involved in and what are happening in? Where do you need help and where can the community get involved?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, on a really practical level, we are currently really proactively recruiting volunteers at One Safe Place, specifically for our crisis hotline. We use our crisis hotline as that 24/7 response. One Safe Place provides all of the training that is necessary. There's an on-shift staff member and supervisor there to provide backup support. But what that does is it really takes some of that workload off of our staff. And so even if it's hey, I can take one shift a month. I mean, really anything would be amazing. Also, the way that we're doing kind of our donation processing and things like that. So if you're interested in volunteering, we are always accepting volunteers. And then I would say at a really big picture level, after what has been we're now a year in, right? We're a year into me being in this position with trying to do the work of bringing together these two organizations. And more than anything, the overwhelming theme is one of inspiration and hope and unity. And I am profoundly privileged to be a part of this community and to get to be doing the work that we're doing. And I would give anything for all of our staff. There's like 80 something of them now across both organizations to get to come in here and tell you their stories. 'Cause my gosh, they're just phenomenal. But, yeah, good things are happening in Shasta County.
And I think we don't focus, as we indicated earlier, about that enough. We tend to look at the negativity of different situations. You indicate that you have 80 staff that they're involved in these things. I think what I want is for the community to start being more aware. I want the awareness campaign. If you can do anything,
yeah,
a little more to have people be aware. I'll bring up a subject sometimes, and people look at me like, well, I don't know anything about that. I've never heard about anything. Well, we don't have that in our community. Mm-hmm. I know we had an instance back to the child trafficking thing or the trafficking thing, where a friend of mine actually went into 7-Eleven and actually ran into a trafficking situation where a lady,
my gosh,
and so it's right here. I mean, they called the police and this gal was being trafficked. It is alive and real in our own community. Mm-hmm. And rather than be negative about that, if you have time or things, you can make a donation. You can put a little time into making a difference. And I always say that volunteering,
mm-hmm,
you get so much more out of it than you put in.
Yeah,
the reward of being a part of making the difference in these people's lives that are impacted. We're all very fortunate. We live in a marvelous community. You said, I'm blessed to be a part of this community. I've lived here since 1977. Mm. It's home. I love this community. Great place to raise children and be a part of. And it's such a giving, caring community.
Yeah.
I mean, Shasta County, just if you haven't, we never have a problem that we can't reach. And when we had the fires or we have the floods or we have whatever happens in this county, that it's such a caring, giving community. They can scream and yell and fight and have all kinds of differences, but when this community is in need, they pull together. They just always have, and it's repeatedly shown. And I just can't think of a better place. So I just my final words, and I would just say that I want to say to the community, thank you for letting me be a part of this for all these years. Think positive things. Enjoy the time. And if you know someone who is going to be alone in the holidays, maybe there's a widower or a widower or someone down the street that doesn't have a family, there's always one more place at the table. And maybe reach out to someone you know and invite them to spend the day with you and your family. I think it's a great time. Final words?
I just want to say thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate you.
We welcome. We're glad you could come. A Merry Christmas to everyone out there. I'll see you next Thursday. I thank you for joining me the last 2 days. And remember what Christmas is about. Remember to keep Christ in Christmas. Merry Christmas and God bless America.
For weak and for strong, the rich and the poor ones, the road is so long.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.